tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. I want to say good day, everyone, for another wonderful day. This will be a great episode today. This show is entitled The System Behind the White Coat. Okay, The System Behind the White Coat. I'm diving into the intersection of politics and healthcare, how laws, lobbying, and leadership decisions affect the nurses, doctors, and patients who keep America alive. Okay, so as y'all know, with all this government shutdown that's going on right now, and you know, with this bill that's supposed to be affecting, will be in effect, where a lot of people might be losing their health care. I think this episode is very important because right now hopefully you can learn something today, right? How important healthcare is. I know there's a lot of talking points of how a lot of illegal migrants, right, are actually getting Medicare, getting some form of healthcare within the healthcare system, right? Right? So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we need to touch, okay? So now, when politics enters the ER, how government decisions shape life or death moment. Just like I said earlier, how, you know, this bill, this big so-called beautiful bill or continuing resolution bill, according to some of these politicians, right? Some of these, what's in the bill, could cut a lot of people Medicaid, not Medicare, but Medicaid. A lot of people that's on Medicaid right now, right? So now, every ER in America runs on a thin margin. When Congress fails to fund Medicare or Medicaid adequately, hospitals feel the strain. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, over 60% of rural hospitals operate at a loss due to reduced federal reimbursement, right? So since this bill has been signed into law or into regulation now, I know I've been watching the news, and so many hospitals right now that are in the rural area, you know what I mean? The rural area, a lot of them are closing right now because a lot of them are not getting funding. You know, just like I said earlier, right? A lot of these hospitals work on a thin margin. Because think about it, right? A lot of them get funded through Medicaid and Medicare. So imagine, right? So many people that go to the ER who do not have insurance. Imagine sometimes these hospitals have to take a loss. If someone comes to them because they can't turn no one away, they have to accept the person no matter what, right? So now, besides all of that, nurses face impossible workloads. Think about this, right? Sometimes nurses be seeing 6 to 8 critical patients per shift. The American Nurses Association reported that burnout rates among emergency nurses have reached 68%. Policies that limit staffing ratios directly endanger patient outcome. So imagine, nurse shortage, right? We got a nurse shortage. This nurse now normally might supposed to only have 5 patients. Nurse have maybe 7 critical ill patients. And, you know, critical ill, I mean, that nurse is not only that the nurse has to attend to that patient, but she also got to do, the nurse also has to do her paperwork. That takes time. Because trust me, I've worked in the healthcare field, and sometimes I've seen the daggone book. Some of these daggone nurses has to fill out for one patient. You know what I mean? It seemed like a book to me, Because there's a lot of stuff that they have to chart in. And one patient might take 15 minutes to do your charting. You know what I mean? It takes a lot, depending on how sick the patient is, right? It takes a lot. So it's a lot on these dagger nurses. The mental toll is crushing ER nurses now. It's crushing. ER nurses often experience PTSD level stress. Yet few hospitals offer real psychological support. The Journal of Nursing Management noted that emotional fatigue is now the top reason nurses leave bedside care. Sorry. You know what I mean? A lot of nurses be like, you know what though? I'm tired of being on the floor. I love being a nurse. I'm going to do something else. Yeah, I'm still going to do nursing. I'm still going to be working in the healthcare field. But guess what, though? There's so many different jobs in the healthcare field that I'm going to do. I could be able to do, right? I'm just going to be a nurse manager. Or maybe teach nursing school or something. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of these nurses are getting burned out because, you know, first of all, a lot of times these hospitals not hiring enough staff or nurses just quitting, right? The government is not funding these hospitals like they should so they can hire the staff that they need. Medicaid cuts ripple across communities. When states reduce funding, hospitals lose patients who can pay. As stated by Health Affairs, hospitals in low-income regions lose millions when coverage lapses, right? So let's talk about the illegal migrants that's in America today. Okay, so except for Medicare, right? They can't get Medicare regardless because Medicare is a federally funded program, right? It comes from the federal government. So no illegals across America cannot get Medicare. But depending on their state, some states do allow illegal migrants to get Medicaid, right? You know what I mean? But that state that allows that migrant to get Medicaid, that's coming from state dollars. That's not coming from the federal dollars, if you catch what I'm saying. So let's say they're the ER that's struggling, right? But then, you know, legal that comes to the ER, one ER. Now, if the illegal migrant doesn't have no kind of health care, who's gonna foot the bill? The hospital is gonna take a loss. Now the illegal migrant doesn't have any money to pay for their own health care, right? So California, for example, right? California had a lot of the migration population is very high in California. They got high Hispanic population, they got high Asian populations. You know what I mean? The Chinese, Indians, right? A lot of high population of migrants, plus people from the Caribbean and stuff like that. California, right? So California do have it where, you know what I mean, certain things when it comes to Medicaid that an illegal could get. Now, imagine if they didn't have it, and then a person goes to the hospital, and the hospital say, you know what, though? You don't have an insurance, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn you away. And then something happened to that patient. No matter what, right? That patient family could still sue the hospital, right? For neglect or whatever they can get out of the hospital. See what I'm saying? So the ER, the emergency room, must take that patient. Unless the law change, right? Must take this patient. So why not fund it? And even when the state of California is funding insurance for these illegal migrants, right? You know what I mean? It's just a small population anyway. They're not making no kind of dent in the healthcare system. None. Small population of illegal migrants. Because think about it, right? Most illegals who are in the country aren't going to ask for no Medicaid because they're scared something might happen and they might get caught and get deported. That's an easy way for them ICE to track them down. Paper trail. Come on now. And so when I hear these talking points on these TVs about how these illegal migrants, a lot of them get Medicaid, all of that stuff, right? Don't let these damn people fool you, man. Because if I was in this country illegally, do you think I'm going to go to the damn Medicaid office and try to get no kind of help, especially now with this damn regime? You crazy? That's an easy way to get caught. You know what I mean? And sidebar a little bit, right? When you're talking about illegal migrants are voting, right? If you're illegal in this country, you must be a real idiot to racist to civil. Well, that's an easy way to get caught, right? Now back to the topic. You know what I mean? So when they're saying that these illegals are overwhelmingly getting Medicaid, right? That's not true. They're not overwhelmingly getting Medicaid, right? But why not? Because if they don't get the help, the insurance that they get, right? You know what I mean? Guess what could happen? The hospital going to take a loss. And then guess what? The hospital not making any money, so they can't hire the staff that they need. The nurses, the housekeepers, you know what I mean? The cooks, whatever the staff that they need. Because now the hospital got to take a loss. You know what I mean? So I'm all for it. You know, of course, they're going to have the ones and twos that probably will abuse the system, right? And those are the ones that you wean out. You see what I'm saying? All of that stuff. But anyway, though, man, I think, you know, it's a good thing, especially if you have a high population. Because, like I said, the emergency room can't turn no one away. So imagine walking into the ER where there's no doctor on call. That's the future some counties face if Medicare reimbursement continues to decline. The Commonwealth Fund warns that over 400 rural ERs are at risk of closure right now. Because right now, the United States government is not funding these hospitals like they should. The government is not funding these hospitals like they should. You know what I mean? The damn bill that they just passed, a lot of hospitals will be losing funding. And then guess what's going to happen, right? I know some of you folks are there like, oh, happy. You know what I mean? My government, my taxpayer money is not going to these people. But think about it, right? Yeah, if they cut out these fundings, right, and your taxpayer money is not going to these people, guess what's going to happen? They're going to raise your damn insurance premium. Because now who's going to pay for all this stuff? Right? You're not realizing that, man. We got to start thinking logically. Stop thinking with emotions and start thinking logically. You know what I mean? Imagine now. I remember at one point when I only had one child and I had her on my insurance. This back in the 90s. When I had her on my insurance, we had Kaiser Permanente. Never forget. Just me and her. And each month, right? Either each month or each paycheck. I can't remember. But I was paying close to $300 just for me and her. Think about it. And that was back in 1996, 97. So imagine today, you know what I mean? According to some experts, right, a single person insurance gonna raise, right, because of this bill, because the government wants to defund Medicaid, right? Because of the bill, some of y'all premium is gonna be going up to $800 a month for a single person. So I'm thinking about you making $20, $25 an hour. That's damn near half your paycheck. It's going on them on insurance premium if you want insurance, right? So which one do you rather, right? Insurance premium going up all of that money, and then guess what? Yeah, you're not going to have money to pay your rent. You know what I mean? Crazy to me. So nurses often bridge the gap between politics and patients. They translate policy into care, but without resources. Nurses' hands are very tied right now because there's so much nurses out there, man, that really care about what they do. They love their job. They love patient care, right? Sometimes I always wonder when the United States government are creating these laws, do they actually sit down and talk to real people that's on the ground, the doctors, the nurses, the ones that know the job? See what I'm saying? For real though, man. That's what they need to talk about, these damn people, these billionaire people, right? Because they don't give a damn. The rich billionaire people don't give a damn, right? is the damn nurses and those doctors that's going to feel the brunt of this damn situation. Sad to me, man, when I think about it, right? How some of the, all the damn nursing workers are working hard every single day for patient care because they love what they do, right? Sometimes some of these patients, they get cursed. I've seen it. I've gotten cursed out by patients before, right? They get cursed out, call them all kind of names. You know what I mean? And some of them, you from wherever you're from, some of these patients might be like, hey, you go back to Africa or go back to Jamaica, right? That's the type of stuff a lot of these nurses, some of these nurses be dealing with. So I'm saying, getting cursed, but guess what though? They still come to work every day on time. They still do the job because they care about what they do. These nurses care about what they do. They love their job, right? They love patient care. You see what I'm saying? But they can't do it alone, right? They need help by the federal government. These hospitals need help. And these hospitals, these people that are running these hospitals, man, need to treat this staff way better. Point blank. Right? They need to treat it from this high-ranking staff, the CEO, all the way down to the housekeeper and the cook. See what I'm saying? Because hospitals, they're with everything. So, right? According to Modern Healthcare, ER boarding patients. Okay, so according to Modern Healthcare, ER boarding patients waiting over 6 hours for beds has doubled since 2020 due to staffing crisis. Think about it. I've seen it before where you go to some hospitals, man. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I used to do marketing for mental health hospital. And a lot of times, I walk into the ER, right, to market my hospital. You know what I mean? So if they have a patient that's in crisis, they can send to us so they can get the mental health treatment that they need, right? And sometimes, not all, but some of those hospitals, I've seen it where some of the patients waiting on the dagger and gurney outside waiting for a bed. You know what I mean? It happens, man. You know what I mean? So behind every broken policy is a family waiting too long for care. Think about it, man. Family that's waiting too long for care. The healthcare system isn't collapsing. It's being starved. And it's the people in scrubs who pay the price. Right? The healthcare system is being starved right now by the United States government. You know what I mean? Bernie Sanders, man, when he ran for president the first time in 2015, or whatever, when he, I don't know if that was the first time, but when he ran for, no, I think he ran before that, I'm not sure, but when he was running for president, what he wanted was universal health care for everyone. You know what I mean? Why can't we get universal health care? Huh? Tell me. When some countries like in Germany, Canada, some of those countries have universal health care, but America can't do it, right? America's the greatest country in on the land, you know what I mean? In modern times, right? Cannot get, the universal health care that they need. If policymakers spent one day in an ER, legislation would look a lot different. That's how I feel too. Imagine, right? And I think it should be a requirement for some of these politicians, right? And I'm not talking about the part if they live in a small rural area. Then you go to those big cities, like in New York or LA, you know what I mean, Miami. Those damn cities where those hospitals stay busy, right? And spend a whole damn day in the ER and see how those nurses and doctors be working, right? Understaffed, overwork, same pay. You know what I mean? The pay don't change, but they're doing double the work, triple the damn work. While these damn politicians sitting on their ass in a nice, cozy office, breathing, you know what I'm saying? Breathing in the cool air conditioner or whatever, or in the winter time, the heat. You know what I mean? Feeling good, being on a computer all day. You know what I mean? While these nurses are on their feet 12 hours a damn day, these damn doctors. Some of these doctors, especially these surgeons, you know what I mean? Sometimes they do surgery for like 24 damn hours. Think about it. Imagine your damn doctor, right? You're a short staff. You have a surgery, and the surgery will take 24 hours to do. That's a lot on these staff members, man. Right? Every shortage, every burnout story, every empty bed traces back to decisions made in Washington, right? Let me say that again. Every shortage, every burnout story, every empty bed traces back to decisions made in Washington. The ER is America's mirror. It shows how well or how poorly we treat each other. Now, the price of prescription politics, right? Healthcare has become a $1 trillion business, not a human right, according to the New York Times. Five companies control over 70% of drug distribution in the United States. Five companies, man. Politicians talk about lowering drug prices, but Big Pharma outspends every other industry in lobbying. OpenSecrets.org reported over $372 million in lobbying last year alone. $372 million, man, to try to keep the price up, right? And y'all hate Joe Biden. Joe Biden, some of y'all, Joe Biden, the worst president, huh? All of this crap. But guess what he was trying to do? He was trying to keep these damn pills that y'all been buying, some of y'all need, at an affordable cost. You know what I'm saying? Capping insulin at $35. How many of y'all middle-aged people out there are diabetic right now that depend on the damn insulin? See what I'm saying? How many of y'all are there depend on the damn insulin? Huh? Tell me. When some of these small countries whose people are diabetic, they can't even afford damn insulin, man. Insulin prices. Think about that. Right? So, Medicare patients pay more. Think about this. Medicare patients pay more for insulin in America, just like I just said, right, than anywhere else in the developed world. Reuters noted prices have tripled since 2009, right? Prices have tripled until Joe Biden came into office and lowered the damn prices. You know what I mean? Nurses see patients splitting. Okay, so let me say this again. Nurses see patients splitting pills or skipping meds because they can't afford them, according to the CDC. One in four Americans does this. So let's talk about this for a second, right? I remember this was 20 years ago. I remember the news I talked about, maybe CNN, I talked about it, how the elderly used to drive to Canada, right? Just to get the medication. Drive from where we are to Canada because the medications are cheaper in Canada than it is here in America. Shouldn't I tell you something? Think about it. The elderly, people that live their life, pay taxes the whole damn life, have to drive to another damn country just to get the damn medication because they can't afford the medication here because it's so damn high. Nurses see patients splitting pills, right? Just like I said, right? Splitting pills all the time, right? You know what I mean? So think about those damn people, man, that's going to drive to another country just to get the damn medication. Things are very expensive here in America. Right? Just like I said earlier, Bernie Sanders has long pushed for universal health care, just like I said earlier, to break this monopoly. As stated by Senator Sanders, health care should not be a privilege for the wealthy. It's a human right. Healthcare is a human right, man. When profit replaces compassion, the system becomes sick. Many healthcare workers silently protest this by stating late paying for patients, meds out of pockets, or working double shifts. Many healthcare workers silently protest this by staying late, paying for patients, meds, out of pockets, or working double shifts, right? Think about it. Some of the healthcare workers, man, right, pay for some of these patients' medications by working an extra shift. And they shouldn't have to do that. Sad to me. Right? But compassion shouldn't require martyrdom. It should be backed up by policy. If universal health care were implemented, America could save up to $450 billion annually in administrative waste, right? According to the Commonwealth Fund, right? Let me say this again. If universal health care were implemented, America could save up to $450 billion annually in administrative waste. Think about that. Medicare and Medicaid expansion have saved countless of lives, yet both programs remain political bargain, a bargaining chip, chips, right? According to Brookings Institution, 50 million Americans risk losing Medicaid coverage as pandemic-era protections expire. Say that again. 15 million Americans risk losing Medicaid. Medicaid coverage as pandemic-era protection expire. When politicians play a game with healthcare, it's patients who lose, right? So think about what's going on today, right? The government damn shutdown, right? The Republicans blaming the damn Democrats. The Democrats is blaming the damn Republican, and they can't come to some common sense rule, man, to open back up the damn government, so right, and extend the Affordable Care Act, right? Extend it so these people could continue to get the damn health care. How hard is that? Come on, politicians, right? And we, who the ones that are suffering, is the regular American people. Y'all politicians, y'all still gonna have your damn health care. Y'all don't give a damn. And you know what? I believe, you see how the politicians do. They like to blame each other, right? So you know what, though? We as American voters, let's stop letting them divide us, man. Right? They are one Congress, one government. We blame them all. They're all the same to me. The Republicans, the damn Democrats. They're all the damn same, right? So if one thing fail in the damn government, it's the whole damn government. It's not Democrat fault. It's not Republican fault. It's not the president's fault. It's all of their fault. Everybody's fault. That's what we need to start thinking. See what I'm saying? There's still one government, man. That's all I'm saying. Now, let's talk about the cost of compassion fatigue, right? The cost of compassion fatigue. Why burnout isn't just a workforce issue, it's a national emergency. Compassion fatigue is exhaustion from caring too much for too long. According to American Nurses Foundation, over 70% of nurses report feeling emotional drain weekly. Emotional drain. Think about it. Because the thing that they see with a lot of their patients, you know what I mean? How you can't feel something for these people, right? When nurses burn out, patient mortality rates rise. According to JAMA 2023, right? When nurses burn out, patient mortality rates rise, right? Imagine that a patient, he's working 5-6 days, 12-hour shift, tired as hell. You know what I mean? Not only the patient, though, the nurse, I'm talking about the nurse. The nurse has to deal with the workload, but the nurse, they have a family. They got kids. She got kids. You know what I mean? That she got to take care of young children that she got to take care of, right? But she's still working 5-6 days a week, 12-hour shift. You know what I mean? Straight. You know what I mean? Maybe one day off in between. You don't think that damn nurse is going to be tired as hell? You don't think that damn nurse, right, if the nurse tired and the nurse could make a mistake? And then guess what's going to happen? The nurse make one mistake, somebody dies, a patient dies, then the nurse is losing her damn license because she's damn burned out, right? And the damn hospital don't have her damn back. See what I'm saying? That's a damn shame, man. These hospitals don't have the damn back, right? They're like the Wuhan hospital. I won't say who it was, but the one hospital. Something happened with two patients. The damn caregiver was there by her damn self. First of all, the caregiver was overwhelmed. Right? Very overwhelmed, this caregiver was, right? You know what I mean? On that particular floor, they should have I've had at least a minimum of two caregivers, but there's only one caregiver. Something happened. And instead of the damn place have this, had the caregiver's back. The caregiver lost her job just like that. You know what I mean? Not taking into consideration that she was short-staffed that day. Somebody calling sick. Right? No, she got, instead of having 10 patients, no, she got 20 damn patients. Crazy to me. How these jobs don't be having these people's back when something happened. Healthcare workers need therapy, not just thank you banners. I agree, right? They should have a in-job therapist, a counselor, to speak to, right, where the healthcare get free therapy. When the healthcare worker can get free therapist, right? If they're feeling overwhelmed, right? Just for somebody to talk with. Sometimes they might just want somebody to talk to and vent to. You see what I'm saying? Mental health support must be built into the system, not offered at the perk, right? So, which I think is a great thing. Some hospitals, a lot of times with these hospitals, right, have patient advocate, right? I also believe they should also have staff advocate too, because some of these staff need someone to speak up for them sometimes. They really do, right? Without any kind of repercussions, man, or anything happen to them because they're speaking their mind. Medicare reimbursement rarely covers therapy for nurses themselves. An ironic and damaging policy, man. You know what I'm saying? Medicare reimbursement, right, rarely covers therapy for nurses. Universal healthcare would ensure even healthcare workers get the help they need, man. Think about that. Imagine universal healthcare. Because we're talking about these nurses and stuff like that, right? And some of these damn hospitals be having some good insurance, right? They really do. A lot of hospitals do. But now with this new stuff going on, right, these damn staff that work at these hospitals, they might have to pay more for the damn insurance. You understand me? If Medicaid get cut, somebody's going to have to pay for that patient to see. And not only that, though, not only that Medicaid and Medicare get cut, guess what? Both Medicaid and Medicare, both of them, right, only cap a certain amount of how much they're going to pay anyway. See what I'm saying? So guess what? If a procedure costs $1,000, right, 9 times out of 10 at Medicaid or Medicare, you're probably only going to pay $800. No, that damn hospital is at a $200 loss. Universal healthcare would ensure even healthcare workers get the help they need, right? Like I said, as stated by The Lancet, mental health funding lags behind physical health by nearly 30%. Burnout leads to exodus. Nurses leaving the profession means more shortages, longer wait, and lower quality care, right? When nurses gone, the ER, longer wait time, better long wait time now. Think about all of that. The National Council of State Board of Nursing warned that 900,000 nurses could leave by 2030. Think about it, right? Right away in 2025, almost 2026. So by 2030, 4 years, 900,000 nurses could leave the damn profession, right? But we also got a factor. Some of them will be retiring too because they're getting older, right? That means over the age of 65, you understand me, right? Some of them will be probably teaching. They won't be in the hospital anymore or the clinics. Some of them will be probably teaching, stuff like that, right? Some of them we'll be probably moving, right? All that we have to take into consideration as well, into the right, although it might still be a nurse, but into different roles, right? So we're not gonna have those that nurse that we need on the floor. It's not gonna happen, right? Now it's all nurses, right? And think about it. A nurse, it takes 4 years, right, to train a nurse. 4 years to train a registered nurse. See what I'm saying? So they got four more years, 900,000 nurses. You know what I mean? Will we see by the year 2030, will we see 900,000 nurses, brand new nurses by that year? Maybe. But how many of them will stay within the profession, right? How many of them, because some of them might say, damn, I went to school to become a nurse, I don't like it. Some of them say that. Some of them might not like it, so they might do a couple of years and go do something else with their life. You see what I'm saying? So it does happen. This isn't just a staffing crisis. It's a moral one. Caring for caregivers is the first step to fixing the system, right? And I guarantee right now, right, because I'm trying to ask the question, but I can never get the correct answers to, right, when it comes to, right? I know some hospitals and stuff have their own policies. They do, right? When it comes to patient-staff ratio, or staff-patient ratio, right? Now, but is there any rules and regulations that's out there where the government says a nurse should not only have this much patients per shift? You know what I mean? There's no rule and regulation for that. And I believe there should be, man. I think if and the reason why they don't do that, because now the hospitals have to hire these nurses, have to have incentive to hire these damn nurses, right? And the reason why they don't do that either, and they don't, government don't make it mandatory, because now, suppose if they can't have enough nurses to hire, you know what I mean? That means they have a cap how many patients that they can see for that day, you know what I mean? Because I know, like, the hospital that I used to work in, if we are short, right? And there's no rules and regulations, but that's our hospital policy, right? If we are short-handed and we don't have enough nurse, you know what I mean? Lucky the mental health hospital anyway, right? So they don't go on the cap to see how many patients that they can take per day. If the nurses and the techs call out sick, then they can only take so much per day because they don't want to overwhelm the staff, the nurse and the tech. Now, lobbyists, lies and lives. Follow the money behind healthcare policy, right? Let's follow the money. Now, when you trace the money, you always find the motive according to opensecrets.org, right? Pharmaceutical companies spent more than $400 million lobbying Congress last year. That's not democracy. That's a bidding war for influence, man. Think about it, man. If Congress could stop taking money from these damn people, people's lives would be better. And we don't realize that, man. You know what I mean? I guarantee right now you could Google these people's names and you could tell these politicians who are taking money from these people. Behind every stalled reform bill is a lobbyist protecting profit margins. Excuse me. The Washington Post reported that industry lobbyists outnumber healthcare reporters 20-1 in D.C. That's why truth loses before the debate ever begins, man. So, like I said, right, the industry lobbyists outnumber healthcare reporters 20-1 in D.C. Think about that. Hospitals and insurers claim that fight for patients, but their CEOs earn millions while nurses strike for safe staffing. Modern healthcare CEO pay study show executive pay jump 12% while bedside wages barely move. Think about it, right? Why they pay the damn CEO that they have much more of their money anyway? Man, the nurses and the techs and the CNAs, they're the only ones that need that damn money. Right? They're paying the CEO $1 million for and they ain't doing shit. You know what I mean? All they're doing is barking orders. See what I'm saying? That's all they're doing. They ain't doing nothing. But they're going to pay all the damn money. I'm not saying that they shouldn't get paid good ass money. You know what I mean? Because you want to strive to be a CEO or whatever, depending on your position. That's cool. Depending on your degree or whatever. But at the same time, though, man, you're paying the damn CEO all the damn money, right? But yet, your staff isn't getting paid. But yet, they're doing twice the damn work sometimes. You know what I mean? Because how I feel, this is how I feel. If the daggone hospital is short that day. You know what I mean? And somebody calling sick, for example. You know what I mean? And that nurse is doing twice the load, right? And then let's say the nurse is getting paid $32 an hour. Why not pay because she's short? Because you might possibly have four nurses, right? But one calling, they got three nurses, now they got split the damn stuff, right? Why not pay the damn nurses? Is right, instead of the base pay $32 an hour, pay them $34 or $35 an hour for that shift, for the time they're short, shorthanded. So I'm saying, why not pay them that money? You know what I mean? Trust me, because I don't know if they're going to pay a little bit more, a little incentive. First of all, it's going to make it feel a little bit better. It might not be a little easy, but let's be honest with you, money do talks. You see what I'm saying? And stuff like that, man. Pay them a little more money. You know what I'm saying? Give them the damn incentive to really want to come in and do the work. Because these nurses are burned out, man. They really are. These nurses are really burned out. Right? For real, though, man. So, hospitals and insurers claim to fight for patients, right? Just like I said earlier, right? But their CEOs earn millions, man, while nurses strike for safe staffing. Man, think about $1 million. Every time I think about it, it pisses me off, man. That's why I had to say it again. Medicare negotiations for drug prices were delayed for years because of heavy lobbying. According to the Politico, right? Medicare negotiations for drug prices were delayed for years because of heavy lobbying pressure. When policy becomes pay to play, when it's all about just about the money and the patient first, right? It should always be patient over profit, not profit over patient. Let's say this. Patient over profit. Patient over profit, man. You understand me? Because if you do the right thing, you're going to make the profit anyway. You see what I'm saying? If you do the right thing, you're going to make the money. Because these patients, anyway, these people, you're going to be like, no, that hospital is a good hospital. You know what I mean? I'm going to go, you know what I'm saying? Forget whatever. We're going to go to the hospital, whatever. You know what I mean? The system isn't broken. It was built this way. Think about it, right? The system isn't real, but every time all the healthcare system is broken, no. The people built it the same way. The government. Healthcare system isn't broken. You know what I'm saying? I think we got a good system, right? If the system working properly, it's good. You know what I mean? Because you can be able to get health insurance. They got Medicaid, Medicare, all of that stuff, man. That people need. It's bad enough a lot of people not making a good livable wage. At least give them insurance. See what I'm saying? It's bad enough the government don't want to actually raise the minimum wage, right? At least give the people some good insurance, man. Even if they ain't got no damn kids. Because sometimes it's sad to me, like, a young person that's 25, 26, 27, man, who has no children, see what I'm saying, can't get no damn Medicaid insurance. You know what I mean? And they need it. That's sad to me. It really is. Sometimes, a lot of times, lobbyists use fear. They say universal healthcare will raise taxes, but never mention how private insurance already costs the average family $6,000 a year. Think about it, $6,000 a year. Remember earlier when I was saying, right? I'll pay, let's say, $300 a month, right? For my Kaiser Permanente insurance for me and my daughter. $300, right? So this was 1996, right? 300 times 12, that's 36. So a year, I was paying $3,600 a year for my damn insurance. So imagine today, and this was back in the 90s. You see what I'm saying? Imagine today, right? They say between $6,000 to $8,000 a year. People, insurance raise. Politicians need courage to cut puppet strings, not take checks. You see what I'm saying? They're always going to take the money. I ain't thinking about it, right? You're not a Republican, not a Democrat. All of them do this shit. They all do it. All of them politicians do it. You know what I mean? Republicans, Democrat, independents, they all do it. Sometimes I always wonder, right? Oh, I'm fighting for your damn health care. Are you really? Fighting for all of their health care? Or just a good talking point? I really wanted that stuff, man. See what I'm saying? Because ain't no way that the government should let people go out without health care, right? And I believe too, right, even with the illegal migrants, man, that's coming in this country, that they're here until they get deported, right? I do believe they should have some form of health care while they're here in America. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they should get no food stamps. None of that shit. No. They shouldn't. Because they're here illegally. So they shouldn't. But when it comes to simple as health care, I think they should. Because when they go to the hospital to get treatment, and the hospital have to treat them, guess what? The hospital have to foot the damn bill. It's that hospital that has to pay the cost, man. They do. Right? The hospital has to do that. See what I'm saying? And that's sad to me. It really is, right? You know what I mean? So when I hear the people on TV talking all this nonsense, they're not looking at the big damn picture. See what I'm saying? They're not looking at the big picture. They'll be like, oh, 1 million illegal migrants are on Medicaid, right? But out of that 1 million, how many of them are really going to the damn hospital? How many of them are really using it? See what I'm saying? Even if they have it right now. Because you don't think that a lot of them will be afraid to go to these hospitals, especially in right now, right? Because they're scared of ICE. You know what I'm saying? And like I said earlier, if I was an illegal migrant in this country, why would I do stuff for paper trail? See what I'm saying? You just want to get caught. Right? You see what I'm saying? How can you trust that worker that's doing your paperwork? You see what I'm saying? How can you trust that worker? That worker might be prejudiced. Let's be real. Right? I make a damn anonymous call to ICE. You see what I'm saying? You can't trust people. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. If they know that you're illegal. You see what I'm saying? Because even so, right, you still got to show certain documents, certain paperwork, certain things. You see what I'm saying? To show, you know what I mean, like whether the ID or something. But you got to show something. So even Bernie Sanders called lobbying the quiet cancer of American democracy. The Senate speech in 2022. When health becomes commodity, compassion dies. And that's why this conversation, our conversation matters, man. Right? That's why our conversation matters. I'm telling you, man, despite of how these people talk on TV, because I listen to them CNN, I listen to them, right? I listen to the Republicans' talking point. I listen to the damn Democrat talking point. I'm talking about just regular, dude, not no politicians talking, right? When they have these little panels, which I like. You know what I mean? Which I like. Despite of what these people say, I'm telling you, man, if they don't get it, the hospital, then I'm telling you, the hospital will lose a lot of money. The hospital will lose a lot of dagger money. And what can we do, right? When the hospital lose them, when the hospital lose money, then people can get fired. People has to lose the job, right? These people aren't thinking like that. I mean, right? The first thing they say, oh, I don't want my tax dollars to go to these people, right? My tax dollars, which they have every right to feel that way. I get it, right? But sometimes in life, you got to think about the bigger picture, man. The bigger picture. Now, a lot of these hospitals in these rural areas are being, will be closed down, right? A lot of these hospitals in these rural areas will be closed down So guess what? A lot of people going to lose a job. They're going to lose their damn job. A lot of people will lose their job right now because of what is going on out there with these politicians, man. Just like I said earlier, I wish these daggum politicians, I wish they could go to some of these busy hospitals to see how these nurses work, to see how the doctors work, to see the staff and see how what they're doing, right? I wish they could do it. Just walk around, right? You know what I'm saying? Some of these busy hospitals. Trust me. And I guarantee you right now, imagine during the pandemic, how many people got sick, right? Because of the damn COVID. And how many of them probably didn't have the damn health insurance? And how much money the hospital probably lost because of that. Think about it, right? How much money the hospital probably lost because a lot of the people do not have no kind of insurance, man. Trust me. That's crazy to me. But anyway, man, I'm going to end it right here, right? Tune in next week for part two because they did a lot to uncover and did a lot to really unpack. So with this, right, I'm going to do a second part to this thing, okay? So thank you for tuning in to Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.